The VGRG Gaming Podcast, episode 598, recorded on January 5th, 2021.
Edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 431st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I'm TJ Dinser.
I'm Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So, welcome to 2021.
Yay!
Yay!
It's already a lot better than 2020. So, we're going to start with what games we've been playing. I'll start first. I've been playing Cyberpunk 2077.
And?
And I am really enjoying it, except for a few little niggles. I'm playing it on the Xbox One X, so I'm not having the same problems as people with the last-gen consoles are. That is, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. And I don't know if you watched the video I sent, but it basically encapsulates what's going on with Cyberpunk 2077. Crytek does not develop for the low-end machines. See, a lot of people develop for the low-end machines first and just make the high-end versions better. And in doing so, they do a lot of tricks, like for Red Dead Redemption 2, right? It looks amazing on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, but that's because you never have a straight-out line of eye line, right? They'll use tricks to have things that hide the stuff that's not loaded in, so that when you get there, it starts loading in, right? So you're not really having a true open world. Cyberpunk is an open world, and it has long sight lines, and it doesn't take those into account. It doesn't cheat. And they made it for high-end PCs first, and high-end consoles second, and mid-range consoles, and consoles... Here's the thing, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are well below the minimum PC specs. They are way below.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate.
It's just the way Crytek works, and people seem to forget that when The Witcher 3 first came out, it had the same problems that people are complaining about Cyberpunk 2077 now on console.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it wasn't able to be optimized for those consoles in the first place.
And the issue therein is that they pretty much hit it for the most part in every way that they could.
So here's the thing. Have you seen Cyberpunk 2077 on a high-end PC? It looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the bells and whistles. And it still looks great on my Xbox One X. I mean, there are I've screen-capped and videoed a lot of portions of it that just are... The game looks like nothing I've played.
Mm.
It looks amazing. The story is interesting, but some of the things that really annoy me... I'm not using a keyboard and mouse, Crytek. So in combat, there should be a lot more aim assist. There is a mild aim assist, but none that I can see. You have to have aim assist when you're doing a gamepad for a first person shooter. And also, I realized no one should ever have hacking minigames ever. Ever. None. BioShock was eh.
I like the hacking minigame in the SNES Shadowgate. I thought that
was back in early console days. And a lot of people hated the Alpha Protocol hacking minigame. I didn't mind it because I could do it, but I can see why people would be frustrated. Here, you have to do a pathway, and my thing is, you know what, for a hacking minigame, here's what you do. You don't do a minigame at all. You just have two factors. One, time that it takes to hack, and two, the skill of hack. That's it. That's all you need. Because the thing that people will be worried most about is, can I hack this, A, and B, can I hack this fast before people discover me? I don't want to play puzzle games in my game. Logical puzzles, yet. Like, well, you have to bring the thing to the woman so that she can... no, that's fine. Actual puzzles? No. If I wanted to play The Witness, I'd play The Witness. You're wasting my time. I don't want to do a junior jumble in the middle of an RPG.
Did you not like the lockpicking in Skyrim either?
Lockpicking in Skyrim was fine. I mean, that's just, you know, you're moving one joystick, and then you're testing to see if it has a sweet spot. That's fine.
You're talking about, like, finding the symbols that match the breach protocol, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why?
So,
this is boring.
So Scott, the thing he's talking about is that you'll get a grid of symbols, and you have to, like...
It's like a maze.
You have to go horizontal along one row to find the symbol you need, and then you gotta go vertical along the row to find the symbol you need. And they're jumbled in a way and randomized that sometimes you can't even make the correct path to make the hack work, and you have to, like, either give up on it or just, like...
Or just load and reload.
So...
It's dumb. It's just stupid.
I think the randomization element is what kind of annoys me the most about it.
No, it's not really randomized. I mean,
there's literally time. Like, I can reload the game and it gives you an entirely new set of symbols to work with.
Here's the thing: in Mass Effect Andromeda, I hated having to do Sudoku. Literally, they had me doing Sudoku.
Mm-hmm.
It is dumb. I didn't, you know, I'm not playing The Witness. I'm playing an RPG. And it makes no sense in universe either, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there are times where, like, when it gives you a set of symbols that actually the hack will not work for because they don't match properly.
Yeah.
And that's just annoying. Like, that you either fail the hack and reload, or you take a lower, like, effect.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are like, you get less money for certain hacks.
Yeah. What sucks is, like, when you need to turn off the cameras.
Well, actually, turning off the cameras doesn't require that kind of hack.
It does.
No, not for me. They just turn right off. I just click X and boom, they're turning off in a certain amount of time.
There's a certain hack that if you do it right, it'll turn off every camera in the area.
I guess. So anyways, it just sucks. A lot of bare breasts in this game, too.
A lot of booty cheeks.
Yep. I mean, you occasionally see penis, but usually it's just on your creation screen. If you choose male. But other than that, you know, I'm liking where the story is going. The acting is okay.
The other day, I tried to call my car, and it showed up as a burned-out chassis with no motor. The bugs in this game are, like, legendary. How fun!
I haven't had any of those bugs, though. It's.
I have at least one every time that I play that just, like, surprises me.
What are you playing it on?
It doesn't make me mad.
What are you playing it on, though?
Huh?
What are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on PS5.
Okay, I'm playing it on the Xbox One X, and I've had no problems at all.
I'm just saying, like, the game works. It's just that every session I play for long enough, there ends up being something, like, that's not even... I'm not even mad about it. It's just hilariously silly. Like, there's one where I picked up... There's one from a previous session where I picked up a body, and when I put it down while moving... The body just exploded on the pavement into, like, a red stain of paste. And
sounds like a collision problem there.
Definitely a collision problem.
Did the save files bug get fixed? Because I know that there was an issue with having too much inventory, made the file sizes too big.
Yes. No, they haven't fixed that bug yet, but that bug exists where if you... It has something to do with inventory size.
Really. Anyways,
issue to have.
I really couldn't tell it was Keanu Reeves talking, by the way. It's like the generic voice I hear.
It's not his best role, I don't
think. I will say this, though. At least he doesn't clash from the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He just he sounds like he belongs to a part of it. And that's not something we can say for a lot of celebrity voice acting roles in games. Because when you have someone who's a famous actor, they'll just pop right out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about, oh, their acting is so much better. No, they'll just clash. I'm looking at you, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, no, he looks like he fits.
The thing is that he it's like I'm watching Johnny Silverhand. I'm not thinking, oh, that's Keanu Reeves. It's more like, oh, right, that's Keanu Reeves.
So you're saying he's good acting. He's doing a good job.
He's acting better than anybody in the other. It's just that he doesn't stand out.
I'm just saying he's doing a good job blending in and playing the role. I didn't say he was better than anyone else, just that he's doing a good job.
They designed the character well around him.
Yeah. But, like I said, I'm interested to see where the story is going, despite the issues. I have it on easy, because I really just want the story. And, like I said, you know, just being driven around town, or driving around town, it's like... It feels like a living town. Unlike any other game I've ever played, it feels like I'm really in a city.
The driving really does look beautiful. I saw that part. That looked very enjoyable.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do in the game, in fact, is to look up. Because if you ever play it, Night City just is an amazing city. And I can see another game being set there, too. You know, just having, if there's another cyberpunk game, you don't even have to change the map. Just keep the map. And it's the rare time I'll say that, because a lot of the complaints about Saints Row was that they kept on using the same tiny map over and over and over again. In this case, you know what? You can tell a billion stories in this, and there are a lot of side quests. As a matter of fact, the game sort of forces you to do it, because the first thing you have to do is get $15,000, which is basically... like the money you have to buy to get into Vegas and Fallout New Vegas, you know, it's like, and you can't trick your way around it.
Mm-hmm. The odd jobs are fun too, for the most part.
That is a good mechanic, having that, you know, financial requirement. Because I know Baldur's Gate 2 did that, where in order to get on the ship, you had to raise like 20,000 gold. So in this one, you have to get 15,000 to progress the story.
Yeah, if you want comparison, it requires 10,000 GP and diamonds to resurrect somebody. So, anyways, I've been playing that, and not much else, really. I haven't really been playing anything else. I did download a new game that's on the Game Pass. It is called... Oh, damn, I forgot what it is. I'm not even going to talk about it until later. I did start playing a game exclusively on my on xCloud. Yeah, Bloodstained, the first Bloodstained. So it's the first game I didn't bother downloading on my PC or my Xbox. I just played it strictly on GameCloud. And you know, it's a fun little Castlevania, like I knew it would be. I haven't played the two spin-offs yet. They'll probably be coming to Game Pass, too.
Yeah.
Have you played Bloodstained?
I've only gotten to see it played. It looks fun, but I just have never made time for it.
Yeah, it's just basically a high-res Castlevania. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the thing. Whenever I play this sort of game, I usually expect it to be sort of like a retro 16-pixel art thing. No, this is like 16-bit gameplay, but the graphics are like, there's no jaggies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of odd to experience when you're playing a retro game like this. It's like, oh my god, there's no jaggies.
What's a jaggy?
You know, visible pixels. It's not like, you don't have a diagonal line, you have staircases. Come on, Scott. You know what retro 16-bit art looks like. It looks like, you know.
I know what 16-bit. I've never heard them referred to as jaggies.
You've never heard of jaggies?
Nope. That's the first time.
They're also a wyvern in Monster Hunter. just for your information.
Thank you, DJ.
There's also Jagged Edge. Man, I haven't played Jagged Edge in a long time.
Do that.
I want to play Jagged Edge again. I want there to be a Jagged Edge, whatever new number it has to be. 4, I guess? Or was there a Jagged Edge 4? I don't know. I just want to play Jagged Edge again.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I really like 16-bit graphics, so I've never really been bothered by it.
So what have you been playing, Scott?
I've been playing a few games I got from the Steam winter sale. I got Munin, which is a puzzle game where you're playing as one of Odin's crows, Munin, and you're going
Nurnin,
and collecting...
isn't it?
Munin, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, M-U-N-I-N. You're collecting your feathers, and you have this, like, painted... it looks like a hand-painted... art, and you can flip these screens. The screens are divided into tiles, and you can flip these tiles to move around the screen to get to your feathers and, you know, progress to the next puzzle. And it uses interesting mechanics, like in one world, Niflheim, you have water that apparently you can breathe in and just, you know, swim and jump around in that helps you, and you move the water in these tunnels to try to reach these inaccessible areas to get the feathers. It's just fun. I played some Fae Tactics since TJ and you suggested it. And, it's very enjoyable. I like the art. And it does remind me a lot of, Final Fantasy Tactics. And I also played, Teslograd a little bit, which is a game, it's a side-scrolling game, and it doesn't seem to have any text so far. I haven't seen any. And you're on the run from, I guess, Russians, I'm not sure. And you get this glove where you have a blue and red light, and you activate platforms and other little physics things with the red and blue light, and doing opposing, magnetic forces, and it pushes platforms around, and that's also been fun, too. I like puzzle games and platformers, so it's kind of nice and chill for me.
Nice. I hadn't heard of this Munin game before, but it looks fun.
Yeah, I think it is. It has a really Nordic music. It's very dour kind of sounding. So, you know, it's like, I guess you're going through the realms of the dead. So it's a very just somber music and very somber atmosphere.
You know, this game came out in 2014, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm just saying.
And I just now got to it, because the Steam sale was great. It was like $2 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's inexpensive. I mean, it's normally it's $5. It's by Daedalic, and it comes in also the gigantic bundle for $130.
Yep. So, you know, I like puzzles in my games, so I don't mind them.
You know what shocked me? You know what's out? You know what just came out today on Steam? Sinking City.
Oh, okay.
Sinking City just came out on Steam.
That's good.
I know that TJ will know why I'm shocked. That game's been out for a long while.
Yeah.
Early access, or?
No. It was a regular release like 2 years ago.
Sinking City ran into some... I think there were some issues between the developer and the publisher.
Yeah, but it just came out today. It's okay. It's not the best game in the world. I mean, I would put it on the same level as Vampyr. As a matter of fact... No, not Vampyr. Call of Cthulhu. And the funny thing about Sinking City and Call of Cthulhu is that the people who did Sinking City were originally working on Call of Cthulhu. And they were moved off the project. So they said, hell, I'm going to make Sinking City. Which is really strange. You played it. What did you think of it? What did you think of Sinking City, TJ?
I like the exploration and the investigation elements. I didn't much care for the cross-referencing everything at the library. It, it, that... It wasn't a bad concept, but it was also, like, it slowed the game down quite a bit.
For those who don't know, the Sinking City are made by the developers who did all those Sherlock Holmes games. And for those who don't know, they're the ones responsible for Creepy Watson. Have you ever heard of Creepy Watson, Scott?
No.
So in the Sherlock Holmes games by Frogware, Watson would always follow you. The problem is the way they implemented it was kind of creepy. You'd be walking, you turn around, he's right there. You go, oh, he's right there. He's right there. You have to go to YouTube and see Creepy Watson.
Okay.
It is hilarious.
There's a lot of Sherlock Holmes games. Are they all made?
Most of them, yeah. And Sinking City uses the same investigation mechanic that Sherlock Holmes does, which is why it's one of the best parts of the game.
Okay.
Because you have to... when you do a lot of the investigation in a lot of detective games, like Condemned or stuff like that, or, say, L.A. Noire, just point, that. No, in this one... You have to go through the mental process of thinking, well, this might attach to this. Does this... And you have to do your own investigation with your brain instead of just, you know, hooking up A to B. So.
That does sound interesting.
Yep. What have you been playing, TJ?
I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight.
Really? That just hit... that's in Game Pass, too.
I broke into it over the holiday break... And I took to it like a duck to water.
Well, you've been playing. Well, you played a lot of Friday the 13th, so.
Mm-hmm. I instantly bought.
Yes, all the DLC for that game.
I didn't buy all the DLC, but I did buy the heck out of Cheryl Mason from Silent Hill.
Okay.
I love Silent Hill, and I love the idea of being able to play as her in this new creepy environment.
Yeah, so before you move on, let's discuss this. So Dead by Daylight has these DLC packs, which will include one famous horror character and one famous hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, Freddy. Freddy is one of them, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street.
And Freddy comes with... Who does he come with?
They blew it on the Survivor character for that one. They put in, like, a guy from the remake. It's like, you know, like, the gal from that made it through the first three movies.
What, really? Not Heather? Yeah, they should have had Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have Leatherface, and you have... who else? You have... Oh, damn, what's in it? You have Saw, which is a strange one.
Yeah, they should have had Nancy Thompson instead of whoever the guy that they got. Because the guy that they got is from the 2009 remake, which is just kind of lame.
They had Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm. And, so. Yeah, they have Detective Tapp from the first couple Saw movies.
Yeah. Anyway, so... I actually spoke to the developers of Dead by Daylight at E3, and they actually mocked up a VR version of that game, and they said they couldn't use it because it was way too frightening. It was too tense. Can you imagine playing Dead by Daylight in VR?
No, I don't want to. It's got a really good stylistic thing to it for the killer, they're in first person mode,
right?
And the survivors are in third person mode, so there's an interesting dynamic between like the way the killer sees things and the way the survivors see things. Also, when the killer is nearby, you like your heartbeat starts to pick up and the music sort of slowly grows, and so there's sort of this dread. The whole point is to like move around the map repairing these generators so you can open a door and escape.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this dread as you're like working on this generator and hoping you get done before they make it over to wherever you are. And like there's a lot of art. I think one of my favorite things about that game is that like characters have archetypes of things they're good at.
Yeah,
like,
well, talk about Pyramid Head. I mean, Pyramid Head is in the Silent Hill one. That's the one you got, right?
Yes.
And it also includes Cheryl Mason. So, How does Pyramid Head work?
Pyramid Head can stab. He has his giant butcher's knife.
Right.
And he can stab it into the ground and launch this line of, like, thorns that will slow you down as you move. And then when he catches you, like, every killer, when they catch a character, they'll, like, hang them on this meat hook, and that character will slowly start to die until they are sacrificed to this entity. And his thing is that when he puts you on the hook, it, like, forms a cage around you that makes it harder for other characters to break you out of the hook. So, like, yeah. And then on the other side of that, like, Cheryl, she has abilities that, like, she's used to dealing with evil spirits. So she has this one where, like, if she's repairing a generator and an enemy shows up, like, the killer shows up, she can actually call on the sacrificial thing to actually block that generator so that the killer can't interact with it, because otherwise the killer can straight up, like, kick the generator and ruin progress on it. And then I've also been playing another character that's just, like, her whole bit is distracting and making noise diversions that, while also being pretty fast, she's pretty good at running away. And, like, one of her things is, like, hide in throughout the map. She can run up to a locker and make it make a loud sound as if she was quickly getting inside of it, and that can draw a killer's attention to that side of the map where other players are not at. I really enjoy, like, that there are different dynamics that, like, whether you're a survivor or whether you're a killer, there are drastically different ways to play the game.
Yeah. And they have, the one thing they don't have, which I'm surprised by, well, they have Ghostface, but they don't have Hellraiser in it yet.
No, they don't. That would be a good one.
Yeah. What's interesting is that the DLC based on Stranger Things is twice the price of all the other DLC.
There are three characters in the Stranger Things one, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's worth twice the price, though. Yeah. I do know that, like, for most of the other ones, there's just one killer and one survivor. For that one, there's two survivors.
Yeah. And what's interesting is they have Halloween, so you have Michael Myers, and for a long while they were wondering if they're going to get Jason Voorhees because it's from a competing game, though. But they keep on teasing the fact that, yeah, Jason might actually come to this game at some point. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to outlast their Friday the 13th game.
I know they have, yeah, you said, I think maybe you even said it, Pyramid Head, or?
Yeah, he's in the Silent Hill chapter.
I thought they had Freddy or someone like Freddy?
They have Freddy, yeah, they have a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
But here's the thing. They don't have people like these characters. No, they have these characters, period.
Okay.
They're the actual characters. They're the actual characters from Silent Hill, the actual characters from Halloween and Ash vs. the Evil Dead. And yeah, they don't go halfway on it. No, they get the licensing for these things.
Okay.
And basically, you know, the licensing for a lot of these are not that difficult to get.
Yeah. Like, I think the reason why they did the Nightmare on Elm Street characters the way they did is because they literally launched that DLC alongside the movie.
Did they? I don't know if it came out. It might have been, actually. It might not have been that. I just think they might have been contractually obligated to use the most recent characters. But it's still the Robert Englund version of the character, though.
No, it's the one.
Really?
It's the new one.
I could have sworn Robert Englund did the voice.
Freddy?
Yeah.
Should have. Yeah.
I mean the original, but was the other thing is that they will get the original voice actors usually. Like for the Ash vs. Evil Dead, they do use oh god, I forgot his name. Scott? No. This is the person who plays Ash Williams. I forgot his name all of a sudden.
Are you talking about Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, they got Bruce Campbell to do the voice for Ash. I wonder, did they get the voice of Jackie Earle Haley to play Freddy then?
No, they got. It looks like they used their own art director to voice him.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not exactly the hardest thing in the world to do Freddy, anyway. Welcome to prime time, bitch. So, what else have you been playing?
Mostly just that. I have been playing Cyberpunk as well, but okay. But I already talked about my experience with that. I'm enjoying the game. There's nothing wrong with it for me. I actually enjoy the bugs that I've been seeing, but also I just enjoy the game.
Yeah, what's interesting is that for Steam, all reviews are mixed, but the recent reviews are very positive. Actually, maybe that's just for the Nightmare DLC that I'm looking at. Let me look at Dead for Daylight. Oh, no, it's always been very positive. Never mind. Mm-hmm. I guess people have warmed up to it recently. So, yeah, this is a Crusader Kings situation. If you want to get all the DLC, you have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah. The game itself isn't very expensive right now. It's like $15, and you do get like a decent amount of original killers and characters to go with that.
Well, here's the thing. It's like it's on Game Pass, too, and I think they're just banking on people buying the DLC once they get hooked on it. That's where the money is. How's the soundtrack? Because they also sell the soundtrack separately.
On Dead by Daylight?
Yeah. Or is it just there?
I wouldn't say it's anything all that special.
Okay, but I mean, you're saying it's there.
I mean, if you like a lot of like music of feeling like somebody is running out, is coming after you to stab you to death, then I guess it's pretty good.
I wonder in the DLC, do they have leitmotifs of the music from that thing? Like in the Silent Hill chapter, do you get music from Silent Hill?
When Michael Myers is chasing you, the Michael Myers theme plays.
Oh no, that's not wrong. That's no. I'm confusing the John Carpenter's theme with the Friday the 13th thing. Yeah.
And then when you're in Dream World, when Freddy is the killer, when you're in Dream World, there is kind of like that whole like nursery rhyme. Oh. Playing in the background.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you.
Yeah. Like, they don't actually sing it, but, like, it's kind of like that theme.
Yeah. I mean, that song is public domain, so.
And same thing with Scream. When he's seen you and is coming after you, then that music plays.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't know if I noticed if the Pyramid Head music sounds like it's from Silent Hill.
But you just got it for the hero, for the survivor, right?
Yeah. But yeah, the game has been super fun. I really enjoy it. It's been a blast.
It's on Game Pass. I really should try it at some point.
Yeah. And they keep putting together new content for it. They're gonna keep doing it for a while. They just did full revamps for like Xbox Series X and PS5.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are doing that. Anyways, we're gonna move on to game news. Anyways, the first item is Minecraft Earth is closing in June. This comes to us from PC Gamer. Minecraft Earth was announced back in May 2019, and a month later made an impressive appearance at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, which showcased its scalability and co-op gameplay elements. Mojang announced today, Minecraft Earth was designed around free movement and collaborative play, two things that have become near impossible in the current global situation. As a result, we have made the difficult decision to reallocate our resources to other areas to provide value to the Minecraft community and support for Minecraft Earth in June 2021. The game will continue to function until June 30th, at which time all content and service support will be halted and it will no longer be downloadable or playable. Installed copies of Minecraft Earth will display a sunset information screen when run after that date. The next day, July 1st, all player data inside the character creator and Minecoin entitlements will be deleted. People with leftover rubies, Minecraft Earth's premium currency, will be given Minecoins in their stead, which can be used to purchase skins, textures, maps, and minigames in the Minecraft marketplace. Anyone who's ever made a purchase in Minecraft Earth will be given a free copy of Minecraft Bedrock Edition.
Oh, well, that's nice at least.
As is often the case with games facing shutdown, Minecraft Earth has been given a final update that throws its doors open to everything it has to offer. Real money transactions have been removed, ruby costs have been drastically reduced, crafting and smelting times requirements are also cut, unused crafting and smelting boosts have been replaced with radius boosts of the same level, and all completed but unreleased content has now been added to the game. Players who signed into the game prior to June 30th will also be given a set... Players who signed into the game prior to June 30th will also be given a set of character creator items. I think they're not telling the truth in one aspect, and that I don't think it's because of the pandemic that they're doing this. Because if that were the case, they could just suspend operations and just say, yeah, we're coming back when things are open again.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could just walk around your backyard or your house and, I'm sure, get resources or whatever, so... I think it is an excuse as well.
I don't think. I just think they weren't getting as many people playing as they thought they would.
Yeah. It's been performing, I guess, poorly, and it's unfortunate. This is the second Minecraft-related game to get, I guess, shut down, as it were. So this one is a different story from Minecraft Story Mode.
I mean, Minecraft Dungeons is still going strong. I mean, they're still pumping stuff out for that.
I do like that if you've made a purchase in Minecraft Earth, you'll be given a free copy of Minecraft Bedrock Edition if you don't already have it. Or I guess you can use it, give it to someone else. Or yeah, so that's good at least. That's something unlike with Story Mode where it's gone.
Well, here, for one thing, for people who don't know what Minecraft Earth is, it's basically the alternate reality version. It's sort of like Pokemon Go, except with Minecraft. You hold up your cell phone, and you build stuff, and then you place it on stuff in the real world, and people who visit that area in the real world will see your stuff.
Yeah, so I wonder if they'll be focusing more on Dungeons and Bedrock and Java editions now.
I think they're going to just work on DLC for Minecraft.
Yeah.
And one thing I do hope they might do is, like, in 2 years, they'll have a revamped version of it, of Minecraft Earth. Because it's too obvious a concept of a game to not be used.
Yeah, it does seem to be a nice concept. You can, you know, have a table and you're sitting there putting a little house on the table or something. It's a fun... little thing. I don't know why you can't play that offline. Why you would need a server to do?
Oh, no! To do an AR game, it requires a lot more resources than just than a regular game.
I mean, to a degree, I do believe the pandemic had a huge part in this because this is a game that is definitely requires you to sort of like, well, the whole point is they want you to go out into the world and like build stuff and do things and like, and it's just 2020 and going into 2021 hasn't been a time for that. Like, I can understand why they would have a low player base because like you're not gonna.
I don't think they had a great player base before this though. I don't think it really caught on.
But it's been since... Okay, so this game launched in...
May 2019. It had plenty of time.
Yeah. And then the pandemic really kind of took hold...
March.
I'd say March, April.
March, basically,
and so,
yeah.
And so you're looking at, like, 7 or 8 months that just, like, crippled this concept.
It wasn't the hit that that Microsoft thought it would be. I just don't think it was.
Even Pokemon Go had to like do something different with its development, in which they could compensate for the fact that people couldn't go out and do Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean Pokemon Go had a major update and it's still going strong.
Right, but they had to pivot pretty hard to compensate for the fact that people just can't go out and wander around catching Pokemon the way they did. And like I think it was a really hard year for any kind of AR type game to exist, let alone a game in its first year of existence.
By the way, I just realized I had a point to make before about about Cyberpunk and its delays and stuff like that. now that we're talking about Microsoft, the fact that they decided to delay Halo Infinite all the way to next fall, you know what they're doing, right? They're building a version of Halo Infinite for the Xbox One. They're building an entirely different, that uses different, what's called graphics and stuff like that. Because that's what, I think that's why Halo Infinite got delayed, is that it looked like crap. Because they were trying to compensate for both systems, right? So they decide, you know what, we'll just make two different things that can be interact together, you know, it'll be the same maps and same stuff, but they'll both use completely different engines. The Xbox One version is going to be way different than the Xbox Series X version. And that's the point I was going to make earlier, and I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do, considering they pushed Halo Infinite all the way back to late 2021.
Well, that's the reason why. I mean, they didn't want to have a Cyberpunk situation in which it looks like garbage on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Bethesda tweets about Elder Scrolls. This is from PC Games, and Bethesda posted a tweet on December 31st reading, "Transcribe the past and map the future. Here's to a happy new year." You could choose to read that as a silly, slightly cryptic New Year's message, but it comes alongside an image of a map with just enough weird imagery to hint that map, the future, is invitation to look for clues about The Elder Scrolls VI. The map shows Skyrim, and there are three bright lights sitting on it, like little globes. One is on a box above the map, one is Skyrim itself, and the third is below the map in an area marked simply the word Hammerfell. Popular speculation among the community, as noted by Game Informer, is that Skyrim light represents the past, the Hammerfell light represents the future, and the third light, well, nobody seems to have a solid idea of what that third light represents. The third light, yeah, is it just above?
It's on a box.
Yeah, I don't know if we should read anything into that one or not, but.
But it's next to a coin, though.
Yeah, a wolf coin. It looks like.
Or a dragon coin.
I don't know, but I definitely have wanted or thought Hammerfell would be the next location.
Well, here's the thing. Even last year, people were speculating about it. The Elder Scrolls VI Hammerfell.
Yes.
So this isn't exactly new news that Elder Scrolls VI will probably take place in Hammerfell. You know, it's not a shock to anybody.
Right.
It's more like a confirmation.
So, and either way, the lights hint that the future of the Elder Scrolls is in Hammerfell, and indeed popular speculation has suggested that this will be the setting of the Elder Scrolls VI. The original teaser trailer from E3 2018 showed a rocky landscape that looks very much like how Hammerfell has traditionally been depicted in the Elder Scrolls lore. Of course, the last time a storied developer of beloved RPG games randomly tweeted about one of its apparently dormant series, it was BioWare with Mass Effect. And now we've got a remastered trilogy on the way and a teaser trailer of Mass Effect 5. Who's to say that might follow for Bethesda and the Elder Scrolls then?
So let's talk about Hammerfell. So for those who don't know Hammerfell, it is basically the Tamriel version of Africa. There's a lot of desert, there's a lot of grasslands, and there's a mountain range in it.
Snow.
Yeah, well, it's next to Skyrim, so.
Yeah.
It's also next to Cyrodiil, and Cyrodiil is, I think, where the Emperor was, mm-hmm. since there is no Emperor anymore. And the people who live in Hammerfell are the Red Guard.
Right. And I played the Red Guard in Skyrim, and I got to do all the different titles. You can, you know, go through the Thieves Guild and the Assassin's Guild and all these different guilds.
Yeah, and right. I know TJ was hoping for Argonia, because he likes the snake people.
Oh, no, yeah. I was hoping for the Khajiit,
right. Where did the Khajiit live again?
Moon something, I think it was. Well, elsewhere, I think it was.
Is it? I know Argonia is where the Argonians, you know, the lizard people, are from.
Yeah.
It's called Elsewhere.
They live in Elsewhere. It's an interesting place. It's like right next to the Argonian province, but like a little beyond it. But yeah, Hammerfell. I don't know much about Hammerfell, but I'm the one thing that comes to mind is all the Dwemer stuff. And I'm not crazy about Dwarven stuff in Skyrim. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, I think the thing is that I don't think it's going to go with a lot of Dwemer. I always said Dwemer. I don't know why. Because that's the way it said it in Morrowind, and I've always gone with that. But I think it's going to be a lot like Fallout 3, in which you remember when the first time you walk out of Fallout 3, it's sort of like this big wasteland in front of you, and that's basically, you know, it's like desert and grasslands, and the appropriate animals will be there. And I think they're going to really focus more on animals in this game.
That would be good. Whenever I think of a Dwemer settlement, I think of a dungeon just chock full of 200 robots all filled with waiting trash.
Think of gears and broken stuff all over the place.
And then maybe they'll do plot twists and the Dwemer have returned. I don't know.
God, no. That'll mean the return of cliff racers for some reason. I remember reading a book in, what was it? It was in Oblivion. And there was an entire book about how the cliff racers were eradicated because they were so annoying.
Looking at this, I wouldn't mind Hammerfell. Like, that would be an interesting... like, I wanted something interesting and exotic, which is why I wanted Elsewhere. But Hammerfell doesn't sound like a bad place to check out.
Yeah. And like I said, it's in an interesting location on the map, because north of it is, of course, Skyrim. East of it is Cyrodiil. And what is south of Hammerfell again? I'm trying to remember what's
south.
What's
coastal? Like there's some inlets.
Yeah, there's a lot of ocean. There's an ocean country below it, and I forgot the name of it.
Let's see. Oh, there's ocean. There's something north of it.
Yeah, High Skyrim. Rock. Oh, High Rock, right?
No, to north.
Yeah, High Rock is near it too.
Yeah, High Rock. And then there's Somerset Island is farther to south, and then there's Ballinwood on the other side.
Oh, God, that's right. Yeah, your fears are very well-founded, TJ. Yeah, because Hammerfell was also Dwemer Central before the Red Guard got there.
There's a place called Skaven. That's no good.
Isn't that Warhammer?
So, we're probably going to see a lot of Dwarven underground stuff. I don't know if we'll see a lot of undead stuff or not, but they'll probably be undead. But I just would like it, just hope it looks all aesthetically different from Skyrim, which was very Nordic.
Oh, it's going to be very different. And like I said, it's the Tamriel version of Africa. Mm-hmm. You have the desert, you have the grasslands, and you have the mountains.
Probably no dragons. Probably.
I mean, okay, Hammerfell does have a peninsula. Well, two of them, actually. So you'll probably have a lot of water sections. And one of them is basically a gulf.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and it looks like there's a few scattered islands below it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might visit them. Or they might be TLC.
You mean like Fallout 4? God forbid.
Well, I mean, like, there was a... I think there was an
island. No, but wasn't it an island that became a DLC for Fallout 4?
Yeah, there was. There was. But there was also one in Skyrim, too. So there was a place in both of them that were like that.
Oh, the Dragonborn DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll probably do island DLC again. I would not be surprised.
I mean, the major city there is Sentinel. Which is on the water, actually. So, I mean, you know, I'm gonna call it right now. You're gonna have a lot of pirates in this game.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, quite possible.
And you become a pirate because this is Elder Scrolls. And if there's a faction in the game, you'll be given the option to join it.
You'll be given the option to join all the factions and become the leader of each said faction.
So you become the pirate king.
Yeah. and the
I am Khajiit Pirate King.
In there, you'd be be the paladin king and the freaking pirate king, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Microsoft owns it all, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Anyway.
Yeah, I feel like there might be DLC in this, so, I mean, microtransactions.
There was actually some news about Avowed, and I forgot what it was, but Avowed is starting to look really good, too. And what's funny is that before Avowed was going to be the Elder Scrolls 6's competition, now it's going to be its cousin.
I guess. I mean, if, you know, time is an issue for some people, they might not be able to play both games and just pick one.
No, I'm willing to bet you they'll be released a year apart. And yeah. You know that it's going to take a lot longer for the Elder Scrolls 6 to be finished.
Yeah. So Avowed is, I'm sure, coming sooner. So yeah, I agree there. I'm just trying to see. Oh, okay. Is there?
Anyways.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say TJ can take the next item.
Okay.
And he should recognize it.
Hitman 3 will launch with trilogy-wide optimizations. From Shack News. IO Interactive's Hitman 3 is set to continue the assassin career of Agent 47 in an all-new set of missions set in exotic environments across the world. It won't be long before we're playing it either. With a release date set for January 20th on various platforms, players of the first two games will be happy to know there's some improvements coming to Hitman and Hitman 2 as well. Apparently, Hitman 3's launch will come with trilogy-wide optimizations, including reducing the whole trilogy's file size to around 100 gigabytes.
I have to stop there. You know, that is impressive. If you have three games of that size, you're going to fit 100 gigabytes. I mean, Cyberpunk is much bigger. The new Call of Duty game is about twice as big, I think. And
it's 160 gigabytes on PS5, which is just absurd.
I mean, having three games worth of that kind of game for 100 gigabytes, it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. IO Interactive launched a New Year's video for Hitman 3 that showcased the first 5 minutes of its Dubai area. After launch of the video made its way to Reset Era, IO Interactive developers took to the thread to speak to some of the improvements coming to the game. Specifically, file size was a priority. One thing I think you will all be happy to hear is we've managed to get the size of the game down significantly, wrote an IO Interactive dev. All three games with all content will take up about 100 gigabytes. So that not only includes the games, but
all the DLC
of the expansion
too.
Content and DLC that's launched for the games. A crisp and clean new file size for the IO's Hitman trilogy isn't the only improvement coming. Apparently, the developer has also worked on a new texture compression for Hitman 3, which will be applied to the first two games, including screen space reflections. With that in mind, it seems like when Hitman 3 launches on January 20th, fans of the first two games will be enjoying updates whether they get in on the new game or not.
Yep.
That's delightful. Like, it's really cool how they've worked to not only, like, pull content from the previous games into the launch of the new game, but also make the technology of the new game backwards compatible to the other games.
Yes, Sony.
Mm-hmm.
But a novel concept, Sony, Miles Morales says under his breath.
It's a total win because, like, people that are worried about, like, well, do I have to start from scratch again? No, you don't. In fact, if you played Hitman 1 and 2 and you unlocked a whole bunch of weapons, then they'll be available to you when you start up Hitman 3. Like, that is just so dope. How they've made everything. It's like playing a Telltale game where, like, you have a story continuing, only you just have all your gear that you've collected from all of the other missions. And that's so good.
Yeah. I have yet to play any of the remake Hitman games, actually.
Ah, yeah. You know, there's like scattered sales of them going on right now.
I know. It's just that, you know, I'm more of a thief kind of guy when it comes to stealth gaming and Hitman. And as fun as the Hitman gameplay is supposed to be, I've never really been a fan of the story. The story is just one big snooze. And I know the story is just an excuse plot, so you can figure out ways to have Agent 47 kill people, either, you know, just straight up and just gun them down, or sneak in as a sneak in, take on the role as a chef, put some poison in his food, and then have it served to him, or just use a sniper rifle, shoot the chandelier just as he's under it, that sort of stuff. And every way you kill someone, the game recognizes you for it. It says, you did that, bonus. Oh, you did that, oh, bonus. Oh, you did that, bonus. Or conversely, you know, if you blow your cover, it'll say, you shouldn't have done that. You're getting docked points for that. So, you've obviously played the other two Hitman games, right?
I haven't. I'm actually going to pick them up on the sale that's going on right now.
Oh, okay. Did you play anything like Blood Money, or...?
I did. Blood Money is actually my favorite one.
Okay.
I've played the first game, and I played Hitman 2.
I believe one of the...
And then I played Blood Money.
I think one of the first two games has a level that's an homage to Blood Money.
Yeah. I think it's Blood Money that's kind of like... Blood Money does some backtracking across, like, stuff from the first two games, I guess. Hitman Absolution, I heard, wasn't all that great, so I think...
It was okay. It just had the sexy nun assassins that really turned people off.
Yeah, so I skipped that one, but like everybody I talked to has been telling me I have to play Hitman 1 and 2 before 3 comes out.
Yeah, especially now that you get to play Hitman and not have to wait for the episodic content.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to be picking up those games while they're on sale.
Now, here's a question for you. Are there any bundles that include all three?
It's a weird thing on PC, right? Because, okay, so like Hitman 2, 1 and 2 are on Steam.
Yeah.
But Epic Game Store got Hitman 3 as an exclusive. Hitman 1 is on Epic Game Store, but Hitman 2 is not for some reason.
That's strange.
So you've got a situation where, like, you're not going to be able to play all three games on Steam, and you're not going to be able to play all three games on Epic Game Store. It's weird. I don't understand why they did that.
Meanwhile, the original Hitman Blood Money is for $10 on
Steam. I'm just going to get the games on PS5, where I can find them all three of the games in one easy-to-find place.
Yeah. The Hitman Game of the Year edition is on Epic Store for $15. I'm pretty sure they have a similar price on Steam. No, it's original. Oh, there is no price on it, which means you might have bought it from. Oh no, here it is. Buy Hitman Game of the Year bundle for $59.
Mm.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's wow. That's overpriced.
it's like $12 for Hitman Game of the Year edition on PS5 right now, and I think it's $15. No, maybe $25 for the Hitman 2 Gold Edition, which has all the content.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing. Just say screw it, I'm getting on console.
So that's the way I'm probably going to end up going. I'm really excited. I like the Hitman games when they like are at their best. I like the problem solving. I like the different situations that can arise. I like the different opportunities. And I like being able to go back to missions and just mess around with new equipment that I earn from doing well.
Yeah.
I also want to see this briefcase that you can throw that will track people down and hit them to death.
Yeah. So the other thing about the Hitman games is that they have the VIP stuff, in which there's a certain amount of time in which a VIP will appear, and then they'll vanish, and it's like for a limited period of real time too that they'll appear. It's like, so you'll have that fun as well. Did you know about this about the game? About the Hitman 1 and 2?
What about them?
The VAPs. VIP, yeah, there'll be characters that only appear for a brief moment on your map.
Oh, the elusive targets. Yeah. That was always a really interesting factor to me. So, like, the characters that will, like, you have one chance. You have one chance to kill them, and if they get away, then you blew it. You don't get another chance at them.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an interesting concept. Like, the idea of, like, you have to be adaptable on these ones. You have to, like, bust out your best strats and make sure everything goes right, because you won't get a
second take
two at it.
Yeah. I already own the first Hitman, in fact. It's part of my press account on Epic, so that's cool. Which means I'm probably going to get Hitman 3, too, as part of my press account.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's a bummer that they don't have Hitman 2 for whatever reason. I wonder, though, if you get Hitman 1 on Epic and Hitman 2 on Steam, they're going to still cross, you know, still cross communicate, right?
They do over GOG and Steam. I had Trials of the Sky first chapter on GOG and then Trials of the Sky second chapter on Steam. And when I started the second chapter, it imported the game right from my first chapter.
Yeah, because it's all the same game. It's just in different folders.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Okay. They can find each other.
I wonder if they're also doing this so that at some point they'll be able to have it on the Switch as well.
Yeah, a lot of games appear to be coming to the Switch.
Yeah, but the problem is that you have that rinky-dink file size on the Switch.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And, you know, whatever new Switch they're going to come out with, the number one thing that people are going to ask for and probably are going to get is at least 500 gigabytes of hard drive space.
That would be nice.
Yep. Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shark. I mean,
no, you changed it.
I did change it. I forgot. Sorry. Messed up.
But what was it? Alpha Prime?
No, God damn it. Stop doing that. It's Shard Ramore. Sorry.
Shard what?
Ramore. R-A-M-O-R-E.
Shard Ramore.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what was it? Twitter gave you a timeout for some reason?
Because I don't know how, but somehow my Twitter account got hacked. Where a bunch of spam video tweets got uploaded onto it.
Jesus.
And it suspended me because of that, and I haven't been able to unlock it or do anything with it, so I just started up a new one.
Yep. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun. Be cool. Play games, y'all.